and pray for every one of us that what we just sang is true, that we really want to be filled with the things of God and His love. I want to bring a message this morning about the many gifts that salvation gives us. Salvation is a free gift from God by His grace and His mercy, but along with it, there's so many other gifts. Now, I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's a whole other subject for another time, but I'm talking about what we have. If we don't realize all the things that we have, we bought a new car back sometime, almost new, and it had so many things on it, I didn't know how to use all of them. I think that's the way it is with our salvation. We got so many things from God, we don't know how to use them. And maybe we're going along struggling when we don't really have to be struggling like that. The passage that Woody read for us is telling us that we have a great God. David said, He's my salvation. Of whom am I going to fear? I've got all these things and everything that I need. And the Bible tells us that we should work out our salvation. We don't work for it. It's a free gift, but we should take it and wear it out. Work it out. See if we can wear it, because that's not possible. And he tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, how are we going to escape the trials and tribulations and the final judgment of God if we didn't do anything with our salvation? Matter of fact, that's why we're here. Everybody's talking about dying these days. For the Christian, there is no death. It's a step into glory if you leave this world and the body stays here. Be absent from the body, but be present with the Lord. Amen? So we sometimes let affairs in life entangle us and pull us down and drag us down when we got the Spirit. I'm not for bashing everything that's going on. I may bash a couple people this morning. That's okay, isn't it? I think this Dr. Gauchi, whatever you say his name, I think he needs to go back to China where he belongs and take his COVID-19 with him and his coronavirus. Take all that back. We don't need it here. I like what one of the senators said to him at the hearing. He was said, testifying, said all this stuff, and he gave him a few comments. But he said, I want to tell you one thing. I don't think you're the last word on all of this. And so his just face kind of dropped, and I thought, well, amen to that. But we shouldn't be foolish, we shouldn't be half-hearted. But we're people meant to be free. We're supposed to be out. And how can you stay inside this kind of weather? And by the way, most of the people are dying that are housed up in an old folks' home somewhere. We need to get out in the yard. We need to get out and do some work. We need to get out and enjoy life. Don't know how much you got left either way, but from here to there, it's only a step to heaven. And he also says that's why Jesus came, to give us all this in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't come to do a bunch of miracles, but he did because that's who he was. And to show he had control over all the vegetation, all the animal life, and all the human life. But his express purpose was to find people that were lost and undone and get them saved. And that's what the number one job of the church is. And we got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is getting people saved, bringing them to Christ. That's what we're to be all about. We have to remember that. And he said in Romans 9 and 10, of all the places, maybe you'd want to take your Bible and turn there right now. Chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I don't know of any place in the Bible that it's more simply put, easy to be understood, how to be saved. And the biggest thing that discourage and grabble most people is trying to figure out, well, some say this and some say that. Let's look what the Bible says in two short verses, 9 and 10 in Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's very easy to do. You simply say, I believe Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He was a blessed Holy Son of God, and he came to save, and I'm wanting him to come into my heart and life and save me. And shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you believe in everything that he was, everything that he said, and you believe that he was resurrected You know, there's more evidence. A lawyer said this one time. He was actually a heathen, and he was trying to disprove the Bible and God and Christ. And when he got done, he said, there's more evidence to show that Jesus came and lived and died and arose again than there is that George Washington was the first president of the United States. And he became a great preacher. How many of you think about that? Just think about that. And the 10th verse just sums it all up. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to say so. You know, people said, well, I pray my prayers, I think my prayers. Well, maybe you just think you prayed. You ever think about that? He said, say with your mouth that I confess Jesus Christ. I confess I'm a sinner. That's all any of us are. Sinners, those of us that are saved, are just sinners saved by grace. Well, he did this and she did that and somebody else did that and I've done none of those things. And you're still a lost sinner on your way and destined to a hell without Christ. You need to be saved. You need to be born again, brought into the family of God. One of the first gifts that salvation gives us is love. There are some people, and I think most people, that are not saved, that are incapable of love. They don't know how to love. And the reason they don't know how is because they don't have God's love. And some Christians that have that love don't know how to express it or give it. Because we're selfish or prideful, and we harbor up things in our heart and our life instead of letting go and let God's love burst forth from us. What did Christ say to the people that were crucifying him? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we hang on to petty stuff in our marriages, in our families, in our job, in our work, and we never let go. People going through life that can't get rid of something. The love. John 3:16, we all know it by heart, but do we practice it? For God so loved the world that he gave. The first thing that love does is it motivates giving. It makes people want to give and go above and beyond what's the natural. The Jewish religious people said to Jesus, well, we practice all the law. He said, okay, the law says when somebody comes and stays at your house, you got to get up the next morning and walk a mile with them. He said, I got one better, walk 2 miles with them. That's what love does for you. It motivates that giving, makes me want to give more. And I'm not looking to see who gave on the left side or the right side. I'm giving because I'm giving to God. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved. I know you've heard me say that before, but think about that. He so loved. He didn't just love, he so loved. The love of God is magnified. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I once thought I was saved. I don't know. Listen, that makes sure that you're saved. I've gave you those two verses, 9 and 10 in Romans chapter 9, or chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Make sure you're saved, and then that doesn't ever change in your life, never from this point on. It doesn't change. Nothing can undo that. Jesus said, I put you in God's hand, and God's got me in his hand, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, so therefore, nothing can you got to undo the hand of God, the hand of the Holy Spirit, the hand of Christ, to get unsaved. That can't happen. It cannot happen. Amen? So we should not perish but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? It's everlasting, right? Some people complicate things that are so simple when it's easy to be understood. Then he says in the 17th verse, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn us because we're condemned already. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We're born sinners. That's all we are, as I said earlier. So he didn't come to tell us that all over. He just wants us to admit that so he can take us and forgive us and make us a child of God. Isn't that marvelous? Make us want to sing, oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. In 1 John 4:8, and you see, you can't get this source of love only from Christ. You have to have Christ as your Savior. He that loveth not, knoweth not, but God, for God is love. If we're going to have love, true love, we've got to get it from God. People get married, well, this person's going to make me happy, they're beautiful. Well, when they quit being beautiful And when they quit, run out of money or whatever they can do and can't serve you anymore or do anymore or meet your needs, I'm through with this. I'm out of here. You need the love of God. So the first thing is love. Write that down. Second thing is peace. We need peace. The peace of God and the peace with God. When you get saved, you get the peace of God. But you have to keep your sins confessed up and prayed up and doing what you know to do after that to have peace with God. The peace of God is there. You see, it's like checkers. God's made the first move. It's there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm standing, knocking. I'm trying to get in. Why don't you let me in your life? Why don't you let me in your affairs? Why don't you let me? No wonder you're having so much trouble. And you don't have peace about it. You go to bed and you can't sleep because you worry about it. You're just all upset about it. And then you're getting ready to die and you wonder, what am I going to do with all my stuff? I don't want those people to have it. I don't want anybody here to have it. Hey, we came into this world with nothing. We're going to go out with nothing. And all the only things we got is what we use. And when the Antichrist comes, I don't want to leave anything for him to use. My kids could dig it out the same way I did. Amen? We just got a bunch of spoiled brats anyway, right? I mean, thinking everything's supposed to be free, give to me. And now people are saying they're getting more money on unemployment than they were if it's working, so why go back to work? We're breeding a society. We're in socialism right now, folks. The government's going to tell us you can't open a church, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do this. You got to wear a face mask and cut a hole in it so you can drink your soda. Is it crazy or what? You wonder which foot the shoe is on. Where do I go with this stuff? Does anybody know what is happening and how it's happening? No, just make up rules as you go along. And Pennsylvania's probably got the stupidest governor there is in the whole United States, I think. I mean, really, when you stop and think about it. And I guess they're hot on his tail to arrest him, and that... Oh, I got in trouble for saying that one time. I better not say it again. But that thing with him is ugly, isn't she now? I mean, really. I mean, you got to call a snake a snake. You can't say, oh, it's a pretty little puppy. Right? Oh, you don't say things like that. Well, how are we going to know? Remember the king and the child story? The king, everybody tell him everything he wanted to hear. The king got tired of that. So he just went out in the street and walked with no clothes on. Everybody's saying, the wonderful king, wonderful king. One of the boys said, that man is naked. He don't have any clothes on. So we got to tell it like it is, right? Peace. And once in a while, you have to air things out with people. We have homes where people are living in. I was called one time, long time ago, when I was a lot younger and had less sense. But I think I was more effective back then because I didn't know any better. But they wanted me to go counsel this couple. They were in their 60s. She's sitting there with her back to him, and he's sitting over there with her back to her. And when I walked in, you could feel the electricity in the room. And I said, well, I'm here to speak to you people. You need to talk to him. You need to talk to her. You tell him I'm not listening to him. You tell her I don't listen to her anyway. I said, wow, who's going to straighten a mess like that out? But we have that kind of stuff going on. We have churches. I preached in a church one time where this family sat over here and this family sat over here, and they would watch each other and make sure they didn't go out the door at the same time. Wow, what a way to live, huh? What a way to live. It doesn't hurt to look your enemies in the face and say, good morning, how are you doing? And listen, I'm telling you to do something that's hard for me to do. But maybe that's why I'm telling you, so I can hear it and remember that's what I got to do. And give your best foot forward with it. Peace. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving this world, but I'm not leaving my peace. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm leaving it with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I haven't seen it so much lately, but when I first started pastoring, you'd have a funeral for somebody you didn't know, and everybody was half drunk or half doped up. that came to the funeral because they couldn't take it. I just can't stand this. Well, you better get ready. You're going to meet it one day yourself, right? I know in whom I believed and persuaded is able to keep that which I've committed. Christ is all I need. He solves all those problems. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Of course, not everybody's going to get me. Well, if it don't, something else will. They're saying, I read something this morning where the flu killed more people than that did. Hello? You might get the flu. You know, a truck might hit you. You might be driving down the road and some drug addict or some drunk come around on the wrong side of the road and it's all over. We don't know. Only God knows those things. And I'm not saying go out and be foolish and say I'm not, do what's right, do the social distance, do the bump elbow, no handshaking, do all the stuff right. Yes, yes, I'm okay. And I'm not telling anybody get out and get here, but I still wonder about people that can't go to church, but they can go to the grocery store. You ever think about going to that gas pump handle you pick up, somebody who had a hold of that? I mean, come on, let's get real with this stuff. If I die, I want to die because I went to church, not because I sat home and thought about it. Amen? Really? I mean, am I on safe ground there? I'm still between the kibbers of the old book. As long as I stay between the kibbers, and when I get out, you don't have to agree with me. Jesus said, Who is my family? This is my family. Where can I go but to the Lord? So the peace of Jesus Christ given to us, and he doesn't take it away. It's there for our use. It's one of those gifts. So we got love, we got peace, and we got joy. Things will never make you happy. Things will never make you happy. The only thing that'll make you happy is there's a black spot in all of us when we come into this world. That's where our soul is seated. And we need Jesus Christ to come to fill that hole. That's the only thing that will make you happy. You can search and search and search. You'll never have enough toys. You'll never have enough money. You'll never have enough of whatever this world's rotten coffers can give you. You can drink stuff and think you're going to be happy. You can suck those drugs in, sniff them, or sip them, or drink them, or whatever you do. I don't know how you do. Stick them in your ear, your mouth, or your nose, or whatever. I don't know what people are so crazy about, doing their crazy stuff. Psalm 21, verse 1 says, the king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Rejoice in the salvation. This country doesn't need more ventilators. It doesn't need more masks. It doesn't need more whatever they're passing out. We need more of Christ. We got to get some more money. Let's do another $1 trillion. How are we ever going to pay this back? We're not. The next generations will be paying on it, I guess, or doing without, or walking the streets, or looking for something to eat, like a dog, a junkyard dog or something. Nehemiah 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The people that can't have their joy and enjoy being in church is because they don't have the peace. And they can't have the joy. These things dovetail. You've got to have the love. Then you have the peace. Then you have the joy. And no way am I going to get all these wonderful gifts in and tell you about them. But I'd like to get you on a start so you know how to live and have your salvation working full in you. And people be saying about you, why are you so happy? Why are you not upset? Why are you not worried? Years ago when my father passed away, you've heard the stories about him. And he had an alcohol problem and a lot of other problems. But thank God a Baptist preacher came to see him in the hospital before he died, in the Veterans Hospital in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He was an old World War I man. And he died in the grace of Jesus and went to heaven. And we were back at my brother's house, and we were calling all the family members. There's 12 of us kids, and telling them, Dad passed away. He's in heaven. And somebody said something funny. I don't know who said it. And you know me, I laugh, and I laugh loud. And I had a sister back home, and she's telling somebody else, and she said, oh, John, of course, is laughing. What a time to laugh. And the Bible says, cry at birth and laugh at death, right? If you know where you're going, you're going to be hurting when I go, or maybe some people. You know, there'll be the biggest line outside the funeral home they have me when I die. There'll be a line stretch all the way around. If you're going to put me up there in Orbit, Sonia, or in this church, there'll be a line so long. You know why? They all want to make sure I'm dead. We're finally rid of him. We got rid of him. I want to keep on preaching till the day. And the guy that stands by my casket, and I've told my wife, my son, if he's still living, he's going to do it. I said, tell him where I went and tell him how they have to get ready to go if they're not. Amen. And be and sing a lot of songs and be happy. Be happy. No more hurting, no more dying, no more suffering. Go on into the arms of Jesus. Think about it. Praise God. That's the third thing you get, joy. You get eternal life. We do everything to stop the brown spots on us. One lady had some, what is that stuff you get on a scour off the counter with? You know, she was trying to scour off all the brown spots off of her hand. And they get there, they go to these shops and they get their face and they pull it back and pull it down tight and wrap it around and cut that off. That ain't gonna make you live longer. You might look good dead, but it ain't gonna help you live any longer. Really. People say to me every time somebody's in the casket, Pastor Hodge, don't they look good? I said, whoa. I never seen a dead body yet that looked good. You know? I never saw one. He looked good alive, however he was. And the poor possums, they were glad for the coronary virus. They could keep running the road. There's no cars on the road. Now cars run on the road, and I saw one on the road again. Poor possum. He don't look very good because he's dead. He's dead. You understand what I'm saying? And who wants to be in a dead church? I've been in a few trying to revive them. Wake up, people. This church is dead. Revive me again. Get me right. We have eternal life. 1 John 5:11, and this is what Jesus said, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you know Jesus, you got all you need. Amen? Amen. You want some more of that beauty shop? And then they get that hair, and then they don't have enough hair, so they get one of those wigs and paste it on. And then the wind comes along and blows it back, and they're reaching and grabbing for it. Life is funny if you just enjoy life, though. Eternal life. Think you're gonna exist in hell, but you're not gonna live. It's gonna be an eternal death that never ends in hell. But in heaven, you're going to have eternal life. Get on the clouds and ride them. Find a rainbow and jump on the rainbow and hang on. My goodness, why do we fret and worry so much when we got everything we need? God is all I need. People need the Lord. Eternal life. Number five, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Names written there. It's written in blood. It can't be taken out. He tells us about it several places. I'll put a couple down for you. Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored me in the gospel. Many of the modern preachers say Paul was a male chauvinist. He didn't like women. Well, it didn't sound like it there. He said, we had these women laboring, working with me. I was holding the door open for a lady. She said, you're a male chauvinist. I said, write that down. That's exactly what I am. My dad always told me when a woman was walking to a door, if you didn't hold that door open, I'll be somewhere behind you and I'll give you the biggest kick in the rear end you ever had. You respect a lady. Amen. You do that kind of thing. When I was working up at Huntington as a principal up there, I'd get in early. There was two women over in the college. And they were coming in the door. And I said, good morning, girls. They said, "What did you call us?" I said, "I called you girls. You're not boys, are you?" They said, "You're a big smart aleck." I said, "Write that down. That's what I am. I go around trying to make people feel good, make them feel bad." But Paul said, "The women with me in the gospel, with Clemente also, and other my fellow believers, whose names are in the book of life." In the book of life. Never die. Never hurt again. No more doctors. No more epiglottists. None of this crazy stuff. Think about this. You have forgiveness of all sins. You know why many people don't have peace? They get to where they can forgive other people, but they can't forgive themselves. You've done something. We've all done something we shouldn't have done. We're ashamed of it when we look back on it. Amen. When I was graduating from high school, my dad bought a brand new 56 Ford the year I was graduating from high school, pickup truck. And we were having play practice. And I asked Dad, "Can I take that truck?" "Be careful." I took that truck. As soon as I got outside the house, I'd slam that thing in second, make the gravel fly. Got to school. Bobby was waiting on the play practice to start. My buddy, he had a 52 Chevrolet pickup. And he said, "Let's get out there and drag him." Half of the kids got in my truck, half got in his truck, and we was out there dragging him. My poor dad. He said to me one day, several days later, he said, "John, I got a big question." He says, "Why did the back tires wear out so fast on that truck?" I said, "It must not make them like they used to, Dad. Don't make them like my daddy anymore either." Revelation 21:27, "And there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth." No coronavirus over there. No COVID-19 over there. You can't get in. You know what they got now? They say they got a big wasp, hornets, I guess it is, come from China or somewhere, and they've already landed in Washington. They're going to get you. You better watch out. There's something going to kill us. You know, something going to get us. Sooner or later, be ready when it comes. "And there shall end no thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." How many lies are they telling us about this stuff? Now, really, are we getting all the truth, you think? You think it's a plan to get us under this socialism? Get us to where everything, like somebody told me, they made a law. You can't go. That governor can't make a law. You don't know you've heard me say many times, we don't know our history. American history is a thing of the past. Oh, you got to learn more about math and science and do what with it. I can pull out my cell phone and get every answer you can get. I can find out, I don't even know what a square root is, but I can find it out on that thing. So what do I need a teacher to stand up there for hours telling me to do it? But when you realize what our country is and why, kids don't even know what's, I saw a lady write on Facebook not long ago, "I never heard a word about communism, and I went all the way through the public school," and she's now a grown woman, a pastor's wife. How about that? And we're stepping right into it. He says, but we won't have any of that in heaven. All this forgiveness of sins. Jeremiah 31:34. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." If God takes my sin and forgives it and doesn't remember anymore, why am I worried about it? Amen? I'm not saying we go out and flaunt it and sin more. Paul said that in Romans, didn't he? He said, God forbid, we shouldn't live anymore in sin. But we know the grace of God has covered everything anyway. Praise the Lord for that. Micah 7:19, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And somebody said, and he stuck a no fishing sign up there. Some of us like to go out and find out. You won't believe what he did. You won't believe what she did. I don't want to know. I could care less what they did. Washed in the blood of Calvary. Then number seven, a relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit and his church. That's why we have church, is to have fellowship, have a relationship with God. You know, when you got married, you didn't say to your wife, now we're married, but I tell you what, I just don't like being cramped up in the house. I'm going to stay at a motel tonight, and you can stay at the house. Hmm? What kind of deal is that? Oh, I'm going to be a Christian, but I don't think I'm going to attend church. I don't like the way they do things. And you got so many hypocrites in there. I said, come on, we got room for more. Come on, all the hypocrites. They can come too, amen? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you. He saved you. He made you his child. He's written your name. So now he wants a growing relationship. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to get back to having fellowships up there in that building, because that's one of the first things we're going to do when we get to heaven. Christ is going to set us all down at the table. He's going to put on a robe, gird himself, the Bible says, and he's going to feed us. Christ will be waiting on us as we enter there to sit at that table and eat with him. He says in Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, God wants us to have all these things and enjoy them. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, the hymn writer said. In conclusion to all we've said this morning, only the saved can know these things. If you're not enjoying those things or don't have a sure of those things, one or two things is wrong. Either you've never been born again, or you're born again and you don't let God and his church and his people teach you and come to those things. Only the saved. And here's what Jesus says to the lost in Matthew 7:23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He doesn't say, I once knew you, but I lost you somewhere along the way. I never knew you. He said, many will say, Lord, Lord. I'll say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. You depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Are you a child of God? You've got Romans 10:9-10 in your life. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. Ask him to forgive my sins and make me his child. And I know I'm a Christian because of that. That's all I had to do. When a baby comes into this world, he doesn't do anything but get born. When you become a child of God, you let him wash you and make you a child of God. Now, once that baby's here, then he's got some things to do. He realizes he's got 10 fingers, 10 toes, and puts them in his mouth and says, oh, that's not where they go. That's the way a child of God is. He's got all these stuff that I've talked about, but he don't know how to use them. He's got to have some instruction. That's what church is about, Sunday school's about, all those things. We need to learn more and more about God. We sing more and more about Jesus, but I got less and less time for him, I'll tell you that. Can't count on me. Not today, Pastor Hodge. I can't do that. No, I can't do that. You know, we're giving God the short end of the stick, and one of these days, God's going to take the stick and give us a beating. Amen? You say, oh, I don't like a God like that. A lady told me that one time. She said, I don't like your God, Pastor. I said, you don't have a choice. He's the only one there is. Amen? We only got one choice. There's not 10 or 15. Let's stand. We're going to sing an invitation number. God's speaking to your heart about anything. Listen, the decisions that are made at the altar seem to be, in the 50-plus years I've been preaching, is the ones that people keep. So if you have a decision to make, to do something better, more, less, whatever it is, come to the altar. It's open for you. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here this morning, for the joy of just talking about our salvation and our fellowship and the many good gifts that God has given us, that we can be happy, we can enjoy life, we can do the work you want us to do. Any of us, the weakest one on their knees in prayer, is a threat to hell today, is a threat to Satan. Oh God, we pray you'd help us to do your will and to get this church open, to get our kiddies in here, Lord, as you did, and to get work done and reach people for Christ before it's too late. Lord, help us, I pray. As the piano begins to play, if God's speaking to your heart, just quietly slip out of your seat, come to the altar. We'll wait a few minutes before we sing a couple verses of an invitation number. But if God wants you to do something right now, humble yourselves before this altar and say, God, I come. Maybe you say, God, I don't know what it is. Just show me, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. Just show me, Lord. Show me. And He will. He will. $3.20. You're a good man, Travis. $320 is our invitation hymn. This was one of my dad's favorite hymns. When he played the guitar, not every night, but many nights, we'd play out in the front yard. And that was one of his favorite songs. That'd be the last one we'd sing in the garden. 320.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their sing. And the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the nine around me be falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Things been good to be in church this morning. Be sure to be back tonight so we can talk about other things that we need to do. I want to know what you think. And because we got to furnish the work to take care of people and reach people. And if you know people that are saying, I had to go to church, but I don't know where to go, tell them, come on. We've got a seat in here. We'll make room. We'll get out and stand outside if we have to, if we get people who want to come. Amen? So that's it for them. Brother Bill, would you have our closing prayer this morning, please?